You would return to your seats. I have shortchanged myself today, so I see I'm going to have to talk faster. You know, sometimes when I read the news throughout the week, I just can't help but smile of how things just kind of fit into whatever we had considered talking about. You know, we've been in Galatians chapter 5 for like forever, because we believe that this section in 1 Galatians 5, where it tells us about the fruit of the Spirit and what that looks like, is very, very important. It's just the key to the Christian life, the key to the Spirit-led life that tells us how we ought to live as Christians in light of the fact that we have been saved. We have been given a home in heaven. So until that time comes, how do we live now? Well, the Bible says in Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it's about giving more rein to the Holy Spirit in our lives, saying yes to Him more than we say, than we do our own sinful nature. Well, this week was, I've entitled it, the Week of Celebrity Conversions. I don't know if you noticed, but this week was that week. And we had in the news Kanye West, who's a musician, for those of you that totally avoid any kind of media. Lamar Odom, who's a basketball player, and Kevin Hart, who is an actor slash comedian. All right, and all these three men have given some evidence of having become Christians. We live in a celebrity culture, and that celebrity culture even weeds itself into the Christian community. And, you know, yes, it's okay for us to have favorite pastors, favorite preachers, favorite musicians, but we ought not ever to idolize anyone. We ought not to ever have the attitude in our hearts that this is a person that just can mean so much to me and they can never fail. And you know, one of the things that was wrong with the Corinthian church is that they had this celebrity Christian mentality, and some were saying, "I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Paul, and I'm of Peter, and they're my heroes," and you know, putting down the other ones. Well, I hope you're not there. I hope you can appreciate the giftedness of Christian pastors and preachers and musicians without it becoming an idol worship. But getting back, these people have given evidence of a conversion to Christianity, and their response, especially to Kanye, because he's the most famous, goes anywhere from, quote, "After everything that guy has said and all the selfish power-hungry things he's done, you expect me to believe he's a Christian?" Another person said he's just another ploy of an egomaniac to get attention. And then, that's enough. You have the spectrum of everything from that to some Christians saying, "Well, let's just wait and see," to other Christians saying, "Well, let's just, you know, fully embrace these people who have said they have come to Christ." And they're not the first ones, right? And we have been disappointed in the past, but not always, right? Christians get all excited because of celebrity conversions, and I think we ought to get excited about when anybody comes to Christ, no matter what. Because just because somebody's a celebrity, it doesn't mean that they're going to have an influence on our culture any more than anybody else. We do not have that guarantee. They may have bring some temporary attention to the cause of Christ, but history tells us that there have been. I remember, some of you are not old enough to remember a guy by the name of Larry Flint. Larry Flint was the number two pornographer in America at the time. And he was supposed to have become a Christian, but Larry Flint kept publishing pornography. And so, you know, that was, people were very excited about that at the time. But there's others like Chuck Colson. And they said the same thing of Chuck Colson as they say of Kanye West and these other guys now. They said he's just doing it for attention. He's just trying to get over this Watergate thing. You know, they call I forget what terrible name they called him, but anyway, he was a guy that what? Hatchet Man. Thank you for Richard Nixon, and so they said the same thing of Colson, but time went by and Colson was a real thing, right? And we've all been blessed by his organization and his writings, and now he's in glory. So, you know, the celebrity thing can go both ways. And Kanye has given some evidence that it's a real thing. He surrounded himself with some good people. And I read one story, and I share stories like this in fear and trembling because you never know if they're being reported correctly. But there was one story about Kanye and his wife where he objected to the lack of modesty in a dress that she wanted to wear to an event. And that, to me, is an indication that something has changed because he never objected before. She wore it anyway. And I saw the picture and I thought to myself, you know, I would love for my wife to wear a dress like that in my bedroom. Not anywhere else but my bedroom. Her response to him was, "You're on this path and I'm not there yet." And if that's true, then we need to pray for Kanye and his wife, right? We need to pray, first of all, that they both really have come to Christ. We need to pray that they will surround themselves with Christians that will encourage them in the right direction. We need to pray that they will go to a good church where the Bible is preached. We need to pray that they would have good mentors, good disciplers around them. We need to pray for their marriage. For their marriage. Lamar Odom almost killed himself at a bordello with drugs. And so he went through a huge thing, really literally almost died. And then the other fellow was Kevin Hart was in a terrible, terrible automobile accident where he came close to death. And all these people are now saying we have come to Christ. And brothers and sisters, I think we, you know, obviously, probably none of us are going to have input into the lives of any of these people, but we ought to pray in a very positive way for all of these folks, just like we would pray for anybody else. You know, in the New Testament, the Christians had the same suspicions about the Apostle Paul when he came to Christ, right? Why? Well, he killed Christians and put them in jail. So all of a sudden he says, "I'm a Christian," and there were people who doubted, right? Just like people will doubt these folks here. And there were people who doubted, you remember the fellow's name who was told to go lay hands on Paul so he could receive his sight back, and it was like, "Are you sure? Are you sure, Lord?" The apostles, they gathered in Jerusalem and they said to themselves, you know, this is the guy that used to kill Christians. And it took a guy by the name of Barnabas to come alongside and say, "No, Paul's okay. He's really okay. This isn't a ploy to kill more Christians." And then, kind of like the same thing with the house of Cornelius. Cornelius is a Roman centurion. Roman military men were not in general, pro-Christianity, pro-Judaism, pro-anything. And so he sends for Peter because he wants to hear the truth about Jesus. And first of all, Peter doesn't want to go. God has to convince him. And then even after Peter goes, when he goes back to report, everybody dumps on Peter because Christianity was supposed to be just for the Jews, not for anybody else. And here Peter has brought these this whole family of Gentiles into the faith, and they weren't sure that was the real thing. So, all that to say is that the same thing that is true of any of us, the same thing that we have been talking about over the last several months, is true of these so-called celebrities that have come to Christ or not. So we get to the end of this this section we've been covering in Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 22. We'll read this one last time. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. One of my favorite pastors, one of the guys that I most respect in America today, over the last couple weeks, was not kind and was not gentle to a fellow female Christian. Does that affect my life in a major way? No, because I don't do celebrity culture. I can just see that and I'm sad about it, but I move on. I move on. Right? Because we don't worship celebrities. We worship God. We worship Jesus Christ. Gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. All right, so we've come to the end of this, and there's three statements that I want to focus on as we wrap up our study of the fruit of the Spirit. And my tie-in with the news of the week is that if these people we have talked about or we have heard about this week are really believers, then sooner or later, and we don't put a time limit on it, and we're not legalistic about it, but sooner or later, just like in your life and my life, these things will become more and more evident. They will be more loving. They will have peace and gentleness and self-control. And you know, self-control is a big one considering where some of these men have come from and what they have admitted to in the past, right? So we will see. It'll become evident. And then verse 24 again, those who belong to Christ Jesus, if they really do belong to Christ Jesus, they will crucify the flesh with his passions and desires. They will begin more and more in their lives, and again, without a time limit, without Christian pressure and judgment, right? They will be able to say no to sin more and more and more. And then, if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. And so if the Spirit is really inside these three men that we have talked about, then that will become evident. They will begin to live by the Spirit. See, and that's true of any of us, right? Not just a celebrity. So anyway, that's my tie-in to those news of the week this week. It was just all over everywhere, and it was hard to ignore. Okay, so we pray for people like that. We pray for people like that. Now, the first thing that we want to talk about today, if I can get my thing working here, the first thing is a statement, against such things there is no law. Okay, so he names all these great qualities that all of us want to be more and more part of our lives, beginning with love and ending with self-control. And he says, against such, there is no law. What in the world does that mean? Doesn't that seem like an obvious issue? Would anybody make a law against loving people more? You know, you would not think so, that they would even consider making a law about that. Is he just stating the obvious? something that nobody would disagree with. Here's the thing. The word translated against, I'm sorry. Yeah, the word translated against could be translated concerning or in relation to. So it would read this way. Let me read you the New English Bible translation of Galatians 5:23. There is no law dealing with such things as these. In other words, these are character qualities. These are virtues that come from the inside out, and you cannot legislate people to make them behave that way. It is the fruit of the, it is a result, the fruit of being controlled by the Holy Spirit. So you can't pass a law and say, okay, everybody's got to be loving. Yeah, right. Right? No, it's a result of somebody saying, Lord, I recognize that I need to be more loving and I need your help to be loving today in all my interactions with other people. That's where it comes from. You can't pass a law that'll make people do that. So let me quote this for you. So Paul is saying, here are some characteristic qualities that the Holy Spirit will produce like fruit in your life as he lives within you. These things are not like legislation. This kind of life is not a matter of law at all. This kind of Christ-like character does not come from submitting to the law, but from submitting to Christ by faith and living your life under the power and guidance of his Spirit. Right? So what he's saying is there is no way. Remember the context of all this? There were these Jewish people coming along trying to slap the law on these new Gentile converts and getting them to live according to the Old Testament law. And Paul says that doesn't work. You can't live the Christian life that way. You live the Christian life allowing the Holy Spirit to mold you and make you more and more each day into the image of your Son. And it's a lifelong process. We never arrive. All right, so that's the sense of against such things there is no law. The word things, plural, also lets us know that there could be some other things added to the list, right? One of the things that is not in that list is the quality of perseverance. I might preach a sermon in the coming weeks just on perseverance, on endurance, because endurance is an important quality. If you endure, if you don't quit, it gives God greater opportunity to work on you from the inside out. See, the longer I stay, no matter how many times I fail, the longer I stay within my overall desire to please God, to become more and more like Jesus, the longer he has to work on me. That's the quality of endurance, of perseverance. See, that's not part of a list, but I Paul talks about that in other places. So I can't imagine that this is an exhaustive list, but it's a very good list. It's a very representative list of what your life and my life should look like. All right, so against such there is no law. And then there's a negative and a positive that is given to us at the end of this list. First, the negative. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Now, that is set in the past tense. This is something that took place at the cross. That our victory over sin was accomplished at the cross. Is it a total victory? No. We've said over and over again, we still have the old nature, the old flesh, the part of us that only wants to do wrong, just wants to be selfish, just wants to do our own thing. I want to be Lord of my life. I don't want Jesus to be Lord of my life. That has never, never, will never go away till the day I die. Okay? But we have this other side that creates the war. Okay? The constant war. We have the other side, the Holy Spirit and the new nature that always wants to do the right thing, that continually pushes us toward God and influences toward God. So we're to say no to the flesh. It's strong language, and it uses the language of crucifixion because, you know, they live in a culture where they were familiar with crucifixion and how terrible it was. and how severe it was. And that's why Jesus, back in Mark chapter 8, uses that same figure. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, how often? Daily. Daily, step by step. See how it all fits step by step with the Spirit, keeping step with the Spirit. It's a process. Daily and follow me, Jesus said. And everybody knew what crosses were used for. And they were not used for on a little chain around your neck. Don't have anything wrong against that, but that's what everybody knew what crosses were used for the worst criminals. Right? So this is a serious statement when he says, those who belong to Christ Jesus, they have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. In other words, we are willing to day by day make a ruthless, uncompromising war against our flesh. I do not want to allow sin in my life. Is there sin in my life still today? Yes, there is. How do I feel about that sin? What do I think about that sin is the key. Just as we said before communion, and I asked you to examine your own lives before we take communion. It is an attitude in our hearts that says, I am declaring war against sin in my life, and I will not compromise. I will not negotiate. That's the attitude that flows out of a verse like verse 24. You have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. John Stott, who, by the way, inspired this book that I've recommended to you, he's not the writer, but he is the one who inspired it. John Stott decided that he would live every day of his life in dependence on the Holy Spirit that was inside of him, fleshing out the fruit of the Spirit. And John Stott was a great man, and I would recommend his writings to you. He's not something, not a celebrity to be idolized, but somebody who was gifted and who lived the right kind of life that set the right example that we can profit from. So John Stott said this about this verse: the rejection of our flesh, the rejection of our sinful old nature, is first of all should be pitiless, no pity on the old man. Well, you know, I kind of like this sin. No pity, no mercy. Just like the Roman soldiers had no mercy when they nailed somebody to the cross, it should be pitiless. We ought to treat our flesh as the evil thing it is. So we kill that proud thought. He said, we kill that lustful thought. But we kill that rebellious thought. No pity on the old nature. And then he recognized that the process is painful. Because, as we have said before, in that passage in Hebrews chapter 11, it says Moses chose to suffer with the people of God for a season rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And so there's pleasure in sin. Sin is fun for a time. Right? So it's painful to give it up. Sin looks very attractive. Sin can look very enjoyable. So it's painful to give it up, but we ought to be willing to endure whatever it takes to give it up. All right. So we say no to the flesh, and I have to move along. Here's some of the statements that the writer of our book says based on that. What do I do with my life? Okay, how do I kill that flesh? How do I leave that at the cross and not make it be life dominating? He says there are places I shouldn't go. And this, by the way, this is the we ought not to fool ourselves into thinking that we can do this by ourselves, right? That's why the Holy Spirit is there, to empower this process in our lives. But there are some common sense things that we do in order to accomplish that. Like, there are places I should not go. There are things I should not look at. There are relationships I should not play with. There are words I should not allow to pass my lips. There are conversations I should not join in or pass on. There are feelings I ought to rebuke and suppress. There are desires I should not give in to. There are attitudes toward others that I should not hold, and so on. And those are all just common sense things, right, that helps us say yes to the Holy Spirit and no to sin in our lives. So we say yes to the Spirit, Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep step with the Spirit. Different word for walk, different word for step than the word used for the rest of the chapter. You know what it is? This is kind of neat. It's a military term. It is march. Okay? But encourage the first part of the chapter encourages us to walk in the Spirit, that step-by-step direction. This one is march. March. Military. More serious. March in the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, and we do, right? That's the reality of our condition as believers. We do live by the Spirit. Remember back in chapter 3, Paul says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Right? Because that's what they were trying to get him to do. So we live by the Spirit. So let us also march in the Spirit. By the way, it's a if you go for a literal translation of this verse, there's a real neat balance there. It says, since we live by the Spirit let us march. Since he has given me life, let me march along with him. And you know, marching has the attitude of the phalanx that the Roman army used to have, where men stood side by side with their shields to make a more effective attack or defense toward the enemy. You're marching side by side with other believers and with the Holy Spirit, marching forward to be all that we can be in the Lord Jesus. Okay, so it's 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock somewhere. That's a country song. A couple weeks ago, I shared with you the very nuts and bolts of what it looks like to say no to sin and to say yes to the Holy Spirit. And it comes out of 2 Corinthians 10, where it says that we have these weapons that are not like M16s and grenades, but they are very powerful for the pulling down of strongholds. And then it says, here's the weapon. We are capturing every thought to make it obedient to Jesus. Capturing every thought to make it obedient to Jesus. See, I will never sin, at least I don't think so. I have never sinned in any way that I have first not thought about, even if it was a fleeting thought, even if it was a millisecond before I committed that sin, I thought about it. That's the way we're wired. I mean, that's just basic human anatomy. So when you ask the question, how do I live according to the Spirit? How do I march with the Spirit? And that is on a personal basis. On a moment-by-moment, on a millisecond-by-millisecond basis, I reject sinful thoughts, I reject suggestful desires, I reject deeds, I reject circumstances, anything raised up against the knowledge of God. And it has to take place in that first millisecond when it enters my mind. Or I usually fail. I usually give in to the temptation. We're not talking about a slavish obedience here that is law-centered. We're talking about a grace-centered relationship with the living God who gives us the power to do what we otherwise would be helpless, totally helpless to accomplish. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful this morning for what you make possible. You make possible real change in our lives. when we think that we could never change this or that or the other thing, you say that through your Holy Spirit, you can make us more like Jesus. We can leave behind the patterns of the old life and adopt the patterns of what it means to be loving and faithful and patient and peaceful and self-controlled and all those other things that you have laid out for us. Thank you for the possibility, the possibilities that are ours to change from someone we don't want to be to change into what Jesus wants us to be. In whose name we pray, amen.